It's an absolutely terrible phrase to describe this. Uniformity of contracts. And I think it's probably too late to rescue this particular one, but buried in that recommendation are some pretty good ideas. And if there was some way to leave the path open to salvage the good ideas and lose the kind of terrible choice of words, that would be really neat. I haven't got a bright idea on how to do it, but there you go.
Yeah, just to respond, I think we have been responding for 4 years, right? I mean, cyber squatting, that's the UDRP reform, which nobody wanted to do and to delay. On the fake renewal notices, we have that ongoing right now. And there were a couple others that were on there. First of all, gripe sites. It's not even in ICANN's purview, in my view. So all of that stuff, this was very frustrating at the time that it was initiated. It's very frustrating at the time that the issue report. It's even more frustrating now that we're talking about a PDP, and half the people aren't here that are probably going to decide on constituency day to vote in favor of it. And if the commercial stakeholder group votes in favor of it, and one person from the non-commercials, because they're not paying attention to the fact that they voted against it in the first place, then we have a PDP. It's crazy. And then we talk about why, you know, we have volunteer fatigue. It's just, this is one of those items that the important things that are gleaned from the report are being addressed in other PDPs in other ways. In the REA contract language, I mean, God knows how much of that language is geared towards abuse. So in my view, this would be a complete waste of time, a huge use of resources, because you remember how we went through every one of those contracts. We took sample contracts from registrars and registries. We had graphs, those really obnoxious charts, you remember, to go through those. To go through that exercise in earnest again, it's crazy.
Thanks, Jeff. Mikey?
I couldn't agree with you more. I think one of the things that happened to us in the working group is that we dove down a rabbit hole that we shouldn't have. What we were trying to answer was a question about that should be better framed, something like, what are some things that are in contracts that we should maybe take a look at? And instead, what happened is we dove into this very detailed analysis of individual contracts, and that's part of the reason. I certainly am not supporting this particular PDP, because I agree with you, Jeff. I don't think this is the right approach. But there are some things that were in that recommendation. And I also agree with your point that much of what was buried in this recommendation has since then been picked up in other initiatives. So it's not a huge heartfelt plea to try and rescue anything here. It's just a kind of an unfortunate end to a badly chosen set of words.
So it's like I was taught, some things deserve an end of life, and that end of life may not necessarily be what you initially wanted, but you got to end it at some point. And I think this would be the last of the Registration Abuse Policies work group. Maybe there's another. So
hang on, there's a queue here. I mean, it's not just because Jeff's running this show as if it was his own that anyone can just jump in. Thomas.
Thanks, Stefan. I was just wondering whether in 2009, when you conducted your work, whether there was already an objection procedure as there is now in the working group guidelines against the decision that is made on consensus. Because it at least strikes me odd that if you name all the numbers and, you know, point out the fact that it was just quote-unquote, one group that was in favor of that, you know. And if this was the case that there was an objection procedure against that, have you been following that? And regardless of that, I'm wondering whether we need to take a look at the working group guidelines, because it seems to me like, you know, by just flooding a working group to get enough people in from your own group, whether they're interested in the subject or not, just to provide you with the vote, would not be the right thing to conduct the process. So that might be a point that we need to look at in terms of the guidelines.
Thanks, Thomas. Marika and then Jeff.
Yeah, this is Marika. Just on Jeff's point on the RAC working group recommendations, and it's probably just my frustration speaking here, because if you look at the list of recommendations, and that group did put in a lot of work, yes, we considered all of them, but nothing has really been done. Apart from a lot of staff work going into the best practices paper and this issue report, and at the end of the day, counseling, well, actually, we don't think it should go any further. I mean, I'm not advocating here whether it's the right thing or the wrong thing on the issues themselves, but just making a point and saying that we do start a lot of these efforts that indeed eat up resources that maybe should go otherwise, and then they don't go any further. So I think we're seeing as well for Wednesday a lot of issues on there, and we might need to have a discussion on Thursday. And I think it comes back to the prioritization discussion, where I think it's important for the council to really consider when they ask for more work to really make sure as well that they are aware of what that entails, and that there should be some kind of support indeed for taking that further, and not knowing that it's already a dead end. And I know there's the issue of the low voting thresholds that makes it hard. Maybe it needs some more discussion between the different groups and saying, okay, how can we make it in such a way that it is something that we both can agree on something that might go further, but just for the record.
Thanks. Marika, Jeff.
Yeah, and on Thomas's point, I don't remember if there was an objection process, but I think, again, that was kind of volunteer fatigue at the time. There was... Going back in history, and this sort of addresses Marika's point, we had a very, very aggressive, how do I put this politely, a very, very aggressive business constituency, especially a couple council members at the time, that kept going one after another on a number of different PDPs. And they were very, very heavily focused on registration abuse, primarily because it was around the time that we were going to really get into earnest of the new TLDs. To counter what Marika said, a lot of that work, though, did lead into a number of the provisions in the new TLD agreement. All of those discussions that were kicked off, a lot of them ended up in some very strong malicious abuse provisions in the agreement and also in the whole applicant guidebook. So I do think there was some value there. I said it at the time, too, that we had a very aggressive initiation of a bunch of PDPs back to back to back to back, and we're just dealing with the ramifications now. And I think this is one that deserves kind of the end of life.
Thanks, Jeff. Thomas, and then I'd like to bring this to a close.
Yeah, maybe we should continue the discussion about that in another forum, not topic-related, right? But I think it's very unfortunate that so much work has gone into this now for it potentially being binned. And this is why I'm asking the question about whether the procedural description is robust, right? And whether we need to think about that in order to avoid something like that to happen in future.
Thanks, Thomas. Thanks to you all. Thanks, Rob, Marika, for helping out on this. We'll now bring this session to a close and immediately restart for our last session of the day, which will be a meeting between the GNSO Council and the 2012 NOMCOM, although there are some members of the 2013 NOMCOM here, including me. Operator, please end the session. Thank you. Thanks.